Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
In the bag.
Network.
I drink it up.
Welcome to the Bag Pod, everyone. This is going to be part one of a two-parter, of course. Alan cannot be with us tonight for the Mad Men, so it should be coming up tomorrow with Alan. But we have the usual boys here, and Joe Doug and Jimmy TV.
Jimmy TV in this piece.
There you go. And we will be talking our usual Game of Thrones mess. So let's hop right into it. We got the fifth episode this weekend, Kissed by Fire. And it opened up with what I thought was a very awesome sword fight scene between Beric and the Hound. After I was fairly underwhelmed with the Brienne and Jaime scene, it was nice to see that they still know what they're doing for a good sword duel between two master swordsmen, if you will.
They got right into it.
Yeah, it was most enjoyable. Good choreography. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, Beric was definitely had a little flair going on too, which was nice to see. Of course, at the end of the fight, the Hound wins by killing Beric, or supposedly killing Beric.
Damn near chopping him in half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and twine.
and then Thoros rushes to his body and starts mumbling some nonsense, and the camera cuts away for a minute, and Beric is immediately okay. I mean, for me, that seemed like a wasted opportunity, perhaps. It would have been nice to see maybe exactly how the magic of the words of the Lord of Light affected Beric there to get him revived. I mean, I think they do usually they do an all right job with the magical elements. You know, the tent scene there where Danny was, trying to save Drogo with the Black Witch in the first season, and then the Shadow Baby last season. But I don't know. I was definitely underwhelmed with this, and I thought for people that might not know what was going on, it could have just been confusing. Even though, I mean, they clearly saw that he was immediately healed, but I don't know. It would have been nice to actually see what was going on at the time of the saving. So,
yeah, they kind of glossed that over. They did.
Yeah. I definitely would have liked to have seen, like, I don't know, maybe when the Hound and Arya are having like a little back and forth, you can hear maybe some little muttering or something like that, and you see Beric just kind of do like an Undertaker WWE style, just kind of pop up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, anything would have been better than what they did. Because it was very disappointing, and it just seemed out of the blue, as opposed to, they could have at least had him, like, do the whole revived, sort of, like, struggle, revive, like, jump out, breathe thing, which, you know, is cliched, but at least it would have been something that would have tipped everyone off that as what was going on. Arya's reaction once he got killed or whatever was awesome, to see her go after the Hound with a knife and having to be stopped by the Brotherhood. And that was kind of the first real emotional thing in a very emotional episode, or at least what I found to be a very emotional episode. So
you're a real softy.
Yes, I guess so.
Yes, I enjoyed that very much. And then also we got her reciting the names again into the fire. I thought that scene was really cool too.
Yeah,
it was good to be reminded of that. And of course, they needed to explain what the hell happened with Beric earlier. So, you know, that was some exposition there.
Got that eye patch.
Yeah, he had a bunch of scars. He was not looking too good.
No, he wasn't looking fresh.
No, he was struggling. but yeah, and then we went north of the wall this week too, in to check in. I mean, to more than check in with Mr. Jon Snow.
Snizzo.
A lot more than check in.
We were going north, but he was going south.
That's true. He was going south, and Ygritte seemed to like it a lot. I like that scene. You know, clearly it's like ripped right from the book for the most part. It did seem a little out of place just because we haven't been updated on their relationship too much this season. So it just kind of like popped up in there when maybe you could have forgotten.
They didn't pop up, man. They're always hinting at it, and people's always talking. We know what's going on. We were waiting for that love making scene.
Yeah, I mean, we knew. We definitely knew it was coming from reading the book. It just, you know, they didn't. Clearly, it hasn't been a focus of the season so far. So, it would have been nice to sort of, you know, if they had had more time, you know, it would have been nice to see their relationship grow a little bit, as opposed to just like her saving him from being rocked.
Something was growing, all right. They had to focus. Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm just setting you guys up, I guess. But yeah, what'd you guys think about that scene?
I enjoyed it, Abby.
Yeah, they definitely, I feel like they could have set up their little triage into the cave a little bit better than her pulling on his sword.
Yeah. Oh man, this is already the best podcast we've ever done, and we're only 5 minutes in.
Yeah, that was very like middle schoolish. Her tricks to get him in there.
And they got real un-middle schoolish in a second.
What did you guys think?
They weren't holding hands in there, Bagman.
No, they certainly were not. What did you guys think of her request, I suppose, for her and Jon Snow to leave the wildlings going towards the wall and just, you know, just run away and love each other freely. Did you find that to be like a serious request, or just?
No, it was just pillow talk, baby.
Yeah. That okay.
That was some army artist.
That's what we call pillow.
There we okay. I guess that answers that question. I got nothing else north of the wall. You guys got anything?
Are we halfway through with the season now?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
I think shit's about to start popping off up there. Woohoo!
Yeah, it definitely looked like, isn't the next episode called The Climb? So I believe there will be climbing involved in the next episode. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Scaling some frozen crags of rock.
Totally. Gut right. Style.
Yeah. That's for damn sure right there. But yeah, in an episode that was filled with bathing, we also got what I thought was one of the better scenes of the entire series, all three seasons, in the scene where Jaime goes to Brienne to tell her how he became the Kingslayer. It was... at some point earlier in that scene, it just sort of clicked. I don't know what happened, but I mean... the actor who plays Jaime, Nikolai Coster-Waldau, I believe, or Waldau, something like
close
that.
Close enough.
He sold it fucking good as hell, and I mean, I'm pretty sure he's the best actor on the show.
He's bangarang.
Yeah, he's been killing it. He did great in that scene. My big pet peeve with that is they held the last shot really long, and it really threw me off.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, do you notice that too? They just stayed on them forever, and I was like, "What is going on?" Oh, like,
it's because his name is Jaime.
I wasn't even exactly sure what happened. Yeah, like he like kind of collapsed or whatever into her arms.
That's the other thing. His faint wasn't the most. He had a great monologue scene, you know, and then he just kind of, I don't know what happened with the faint deal. Like what? Like he just kind of whatever.
I mean, it's
a great scene until the last 10-20 minutes of it, because that's how long they held the last shot for.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, that last shot was pretty robust. But everything before that was great, and I mean, I thought Brienne's reactions as well were fairly good as well. Especially towards the beginning where she kind of jumped up out of the pool and was just like standing completely naked in front of him.
Feisty and womanly.
Can't believe they didn't give us that shot.
I mean,
must have that no nudity clause in our contract.
Must be something.
We got some butt shot. I mean, that's good enough, I suppose.
I'm not saying it to get titillated. I'm just saying I'm surprised they didn't take the chance to show some boobs, no matter what they look like.
Maybe they just didn't want to. Maybe they were too good.
That's actually a possibility.
Maybe they just wanted to keep it like, you know, make sure that people felt that she was still a man because she got the obligatory man butt shot as opposed to getting that full frontal action.
That would have actually been an interesting addition to the series is if they had showed the front and she was sporting a full dong.
Oh. Oh.
There you go.
Clearly they do not build women properly on the Sapphire Isle. But yeah, like I said, that scene was awesome. I thought Roose's reaction to Jamie and Brienne being dropped off was good as well.
Qyburn doing his thing.
Qyburn doing his thing, yep. I'm real excited to see some more Roose coming up here in the next episode or two. Hopefully they make sure that they get enough Roose in there, because he's an interesting cat for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, where do we want to go next? We want to go to, let's go to Robb Stark and River Run, I suppose. Robb is kind of dealt, I mean, he's screwed some things up, you know, not marrying the Frey girl, and him kind of realizing that he needs the Freys and perhaps thinking that he can get them back despite him even acknowledging the fact that he married Talisa seems kind of idiotic.
A little ballsy.
I think he realizes that it's going to be no easy task, but that it's a necessary one if he wants to win the war.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
I think he's been dealt a fairly bad hand as well. I mean, there's no way he really could have dealt with that Karstark situation. He was in direct opposition to Robb, who's the king, and if you let him go, then nobody respects your power, and like he did, he killed him, and of course, the entire Karstark clan went back home, you know, decimating his army. So, I mean, unfortunately for Robb, there was really nothing he could do about it. And I thought Robb was also really good this week, you know,
very
making
tidy
these
with
decisions.
Blade.
What?
He was very tidy with the blade.
Yes.
Unlike Theon, who had to take a few whacks.
Theon, yeah. Definitely not good for Theon. But yeah, and Edmure kind of getting a little redemption this week as well, with everyone agreeing with him to not kill the Karstark there. Lord Karstark, so.
Yeah, and then he kills him.
Yep. That's because you do everything that Edmure tells you not to do.
Yeah.
And the women. Don't forget about the women. You must ignore the women.
Well, yes. I mean, it's Game of Thrones. Why would you ever listen to them? But yeah, what did you think about Robb's plan to go take Casterly Rock?
He really made a big scene out of making that decision. I mean, it didn't seem like it's like some sort of great war strategy that he's coming
especially
up with.
Especially since it just happened to him.
Yeah.
And it's like decimated him. Like, Christ, Robb, like, look in the mirror, buddy.
Well, I mean, there's really nothing. I mean, like I said, he's been dealt a fairly bad hand. I mean, what else could he do? I mean, he mentioned he couldn't go to King's Landing because he would just be squashed. And if he goes back to Winterfell, then, you know, once everyone's home, who the hell's going to continue? Who's going to want to go back out and fight? So.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, he made this big show. He's like, oh, I don't know what to do. Do I go and get killed? Do I go back home?
When did he start sending out, like, Grandmaster Pycelle?
Is there any other directions I could possibly go, gnashing teeth? And then he's like, oh, I know. You've given me a brilliant idea. I'll go left instead of right.
What is this voice? It's like Doc Brown traveled to Game of Thrones over there.
That was Rob, like, putting on his war strategy voice.
Yeah, I think I missed that.
Sounding preposterous.
No, that sounded legit.
Well, I mean, speaking of voices, we got some more growly Carcetti this week.
Oh, yeah, a lot of growly Carcetti.
He was, and he wasn't growling. He didn't growl just in front of Cersei either.
He was growled up for Sansa, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Trying to show off, man. Trying to pump himself up.
trying to get Sansa in that extra feather bed.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, I mean, that entire storyline of Sansa's wedding took an interesting turn at the end.
Boris must be a real dummy if he doesn't realize what's going on. With some random hot action side piece that pops up out of nowhere.
Just comes out of nowhere. Yeah, like, Morris, you got to know what's going on now.
Yeah. You'd be a little suspicious.
You can't be going spilling the secrets. The secrets of the realm.
Yeah, Loras is just very truthful during coitus, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, no, that was definitely something else. But yeah, Peter's man making sure to get that info, that sweet, sweet info. And then what did you think of Peter at least seemingly giving her a choice to stay or to go?
Oh, he's not giving her any choice. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he was just trying to figure out what exactly he needed to do, you know, how willing of a participant she would be.
Mm-hmm. See how much milk of the poppy one may need to get her on that boat.
Right.
How many roofies we're going to need to go into her drink?
Exactly.
He's not the only one scheming about poor Sansa.
No, that's true. We got some Tywin Lannister in another awesome scene at the end, dropping the hammer on both Tyrion and Cersei. Tyrion first, just saying, you're going to be marrying Sansa. And I thought Tyrion's reaction was good. I mean, clearly he's self-interested, but he also actually seemed to kind of care about her as well, or about how she would view the entire thing and how treated so far.
Yeah, I would say he cares more about how much mistreatment she suffered, not so much about her, baby.
They haven't. No, it is an interesting relationship, right? I'm trying to remember what the earliest scene is between them. I don't know if they have a scene together in the second episode of the first of the whole damn show, like when he comes up to Winterfell or what. Probably not, but
I don't think
but
does.
Yeah, they have an interesting relationship. You know, him saving her when Joffrey was kind of stripping her down in the hall. And then, before the big battle, she was like, "Oh, I wish you the best in battle." And Tyrion was like, "Oh, really?" And then she was like, "Yeah, just like Joffrey."
Yeah, just like my bro. Yeah.
Zing.
So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can really say to that. I mean, it was nice to see Tyrion not completely self-interested, I suppose. And then, of course, Cersei's shit-eating grin was immediately wiped off her face when Tywin...
When she started eating that shit.
Yeah, she did. When Tywin dropped the A-bomb that she would be marrying Mr. Dandy Boy over there, Loras Tyrell. Which, I mean, they were both... Both their reactions were awesome, and they were both devastated by the news. But it's great to see Tywin's pimp hand so strong.
Oh, super strong.
Tywin is not fucking around up in King's Landing. But yeah, and it was also hilarious to hear Tywin be like, "You're still fertile, you need to pop out more babies."
He wants that legacy, son.
It is amazing how well the writing is going back to G.R.R.R. Martin, and then obviously the handling on the show of the Lannisters. You know, obviously setting them up to be these terrible people in the first episode. And then them coming around to be, you know, incredibly sympathetic at this point in the story. It's really good.
Yeah.
Well, at least with Tyrion and Jaime.
Yeah. I mean, Cersei is still fairly unsympathetic, I think. But, yeah, no, that's true. And, I mean, Tywin is just totally, totally hateable. But when his kids are fucking up so hard, I guess you gotta make sure that you give them what for every once in a while. Speaking of families, We got the first. We were first for the first time. We were introduced to
yes,
the Baratheons, the Stannis Baratheons, his wife and his daughter,
Stannis. And his three baby boys. Yo,
they were a delight.
That was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, babies in a jar, nothing beats it. I mean, I thought they did a good. I thought they did a real good job with Selyse just showing her, showing everyone how fucking crazy she is.
Yeah, she's crazy as a shithouse rat.
Yeah.
and even though she was crazy, like Lysa is, Caitlin's sister, in the Ire, she's a different kind of crazy. So I enjoyed that. She wasn't just the same character, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both sure do love their sons, though.
Oh, my God.
Well, there was that one moment there where she was also protective of Shireen, the daughter, as well.
Well, I think protective, you mean she didn't want him to go visit. She didn't want him to let her out of her cell.
Right.
Oh, you know. To each their own, I suppose.
She wants that girl to stay isolated.
Why exactly do you think he's got him locked up?
The grayscale, man, I guess, right?
About that hideous grayscale.
Yeah, she looked terrible. She looked like she was on the verge of death.
She looked like she was slowly transmorphing into like a igneous rock creature.
She looked like she had porch face.
She did have porch face. Was she singing some patch face when we first got to her?
I think she was singing some patch face.
Oh, yeah. And in the end credits also.
She was doing a little patch face.
Oh, I know, I know. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, I didn't. And the credits, she rocked the I Know, I Know, I Know.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, she was rocking something.
The whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Thank God they didn't show patch face.
God, I wish we had some patch face.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, at this point, patch face has obviously been written out of the show.
Yeah. They could have used some patch face, though.
Well, I mean, since we never got any Moon Boy or anything like that, I highly doubt we're going to get any patch face. So I think that's a good thing.
It was good to see Shireen be like a real kid, unlike every other kid on the show who has a lot more shit going on. Like, Shireen is still fairly innocent and naive, and just like she brings like a little light into the show that kind of needs it, especially when she goes down to Davos. And starts to teach him to read.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. That could have been super cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Davos played, the actor who plays Davos played it really well. I mean, clearly it could have been absolutely ridiculously schmaltzy and just awful, but it definitely felt, it felt more cute than anything else, which is definitely, I mean, that's about as good as you can do with that particular scene, so. But yeah. It looks like we're going to be getting some more Selyse and Shireen in upcoming episodes.
Yeah.
Should be interesting to see how that plays out. I think that's about it besides Dany, right? Do we have anything else on Westeros to talk about?
I don't think so.
Let's go to Essos.
And we didn't have too much going on with Dany.
No. In fact, I mean, nothing.
Oh, well, we had the we got Astapor.
Worm, Grey Worm.
We got Astapor in the opening credits.
Yeah, or whatever the new city is.
Yeah,
we got a new city, not Astapor. It was something else.
I thought Astapor was the old one. Yunkai, then, right?
Yeah, something. We definitely got a new city.
Gotta love those new cities.
Always.
And, I mean, nothing really happened with Dany except her looking super distraught at the fact that Grey Worm wants to keep his name. But
it's a
lucky
name, sir.
That it is. But we did get a little setup of things to come. At first, it seemed like Barristan and Jorah were kind of broing out a little bit, you know, trading some war tales and such, battle tales. Mm-hmm. But then that quickly turned south.
But then Jorah started getting real.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Jorah wanted to know. Did he know?
And, I mean, it looks like they're going to be facing off at some point or another for the top advisor to the queen, to the Khaleesi at some point or another. Things got real chippy towards the end of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did.
But Yeah, I mean, if that's all you guys got to say about that, I think we might be done with Game of Thrones for this week. Unless you guys got anything to add.
An excellent first half to the season, and there's some good shit coming up, so I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that this is the first half is over, you know? I mean, I wish there was just more. They need to go to a 12-episode slate. I think that would just fix everything.
That would fix everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
No more problems in anything.
No problem.
Anything.
We'd get so much more Mance, and it'd be a delight.
Mance Rayder.
We definitely could have used some more stuff north of the wall.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of glazed over that whole thing, so.
Mance and, obviously, Ygritte and Jon Snow's relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Giant's babe.
Yes.
Tormund.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so, I mean, we've got 5 more episodes. I'm sure this episode kind of felt like they were taking a little step back for a minute. I mean, it was emotionally powerful, I suppose. Like, all the emotions were at the highest they've been in quite some time. But as far as action goes, kind of took a little step back to maybe give us a bit of a breather before what is about to come.
Just set up those pieces for more action.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to set up the pieces.
Moving the pieces around, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Robb Stark himself.
Indeed.
Yeah, those things are huge. I don't understand how they could... yeah, I don't know. In any case, like I said earlier in the podcast, me and Alan will be coming back tomorrow with some Mad Men talk, maybe even some Iron Man 3 talk.
Oh!
If he enjoys the movie, he's going to talk me into seeing it. Because I'm completely out on all the Iron Man stuff. So we'll see if Alan can convince me. And, of course, we had an awesome episode of Mad Men to talk about. So hopefully that'll be coming out tomorrow. And, yeah, I think we'll be next.
Back a minute. Have you seen the new Pacific Rim trailer?
No.
A new one came out yesterday, I believe.
I'm going to have to watch that, and then maybe me and Alan will talk about that tomorrow, too. I'm very excited for Pacific Rim.
Also, on a little bit of a Game of Thrones note, our buddy Dan Redding, who plays fantasy football with us, is always talking about that show Suits. I finally decided to watch me some Suits, and I buzzed through the first 2 seasons. Towards the end of the second season, Varys starts having a guest role on it, and Kamathil, I think, isn't that who it is? So that was interesting.
Varys?
Yes.
Weird.
Yeah.
Is he bald?
He has very short, kind of thin hair.
Oh man, that he would have hair. That.
But obviously, he has his accent and whatnot.
Is he a eunuch in that show?
He's all British. No, but I mean, it's definitely one of those things where I can't take. Where I imagined him to be a eunuch.
Yeah.
You know, and I imagined him having a network of spies,
and him keeping an old man in a box.
yeah.
What would you be without an old man in a box?
Nowhere.
But yeah, so me and Jimmy TV and Joe Doug will be coming back at you next week with some more Game of Thrones talk.
Oh, for sure.
And make sure you check out the podcast tomorrow with me and Alan talking about Mad Men.
Got to.
We'll see you guys later.
Later.
Hold up.